Hi, welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
I'm Brian.
And we're joined today with a very special guest, the man behind Gear Talk, Lance Seymour.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. I love this podcast, actually.
Yeah, and we love yours, too. It's just called Gear Talk Podcast.
Yeah, so
check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, check it out.
And you're on iTunes and all the big outlets, right?
Yeah, we're on Hipcast and iTunes, and I'm thinking about doing the whole thing you guys do on YouTube as well.
Man, it seems to have taken off. You know,
yeah,
it's fun. I would do it.
It makes for an easy day worth of work. Hey, let's talk about gear for a couple hours.
It's unbelievable how I didn't expect it to take off so quick. I mean, I only have a few episodes up, and I went and checked the downloads of it, and it was like 100,000 downloads. And I would have been happy with like 400 at this point.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, crap. I had to send it to friends. And so, yeah, there's definitely a need for these type of shows on the interwebs.
Yeah, completely. And you know, Brian said, we need to do a podcast. And I was just like, whatever, you know, okay, cool. Right. And, you know, he was like, podcasts are going to be big, trust me. I'm like, whatever. You know, it's like, I'll do it. I'm not going to fight it. You know, it sounds fun. And sure enough, same thing. We go on our stats and, you know, it's hundreds of thousands of people are listening to these things. So right. It's all the rage.
Right. But we do get the people like, I want you to talk about gear the entire time. And I'm like, yeah, you wouldn't listen to Gear Talk or something like that. We're probably going to stay on topic about 10% of the time.
No, I don't stay on topic at all. I mean, my last guest, which is not up yet, is Jamie from Third Power. And we just talked about how he's a vegan for like a half hour.
I couldn't do it. There's no way I could be a vegan.
Vegan or communist.
I could be a vegan like after I get done eating my hamburger. You know? I could.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't.
And you can't reset it.
That just means, like, you could say you could be an anorexic after you get done eating your hamburger.
You know? That's true. That's a good point. I'm going to use that.
So,
I'm an anorexic for 3 more hours, maybe.
Eating disorders are funny. And that's the first offensive comment of the day. So
that's right, because we forgive you.
Yeah, but yeah, right. So tell me, like, Gear Talk, how did that start, man? Because, like you said, it's taken off.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I kind of told this story a couple times, but really the thing was, I was playing a gig. Pretty much a little background on me is I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been a full-time guitar player for about 10 years in Atlanta. And I had come back from a gig in Key West or something like that. And I had this idea of, well, you know, like create some sort of group on Facebook. I'd been added to these groups for like just different like things, like, you know, car collecting groups or whatever. You know, I was trying to sell some stuff on Facebook, and none of my friends had messaged me or anything. And I was like, dude, all my friends are professional musicians. Like 90% of my guy friends are guitar players. So so part of it was create a group, and then they all have to see my stupid ad to sell, you know, Wampler pedals or whatever I was getting rid of at the time.
Yeah, you don't want to keep those anyway.
Yeah, they suck.
No, I actually didn't enjoy them. I probably didn't have too many cool pedals back then. Then, you know, the other side of it was I would go to the forum, say, the Gear page. You've heard of the Gear page, perhaps.
Of course.
You know, I mean, it's such a unknown forum in the gear industry.
It's
you
starting
know.
To be.
Well,
it's spreading out.
Well, okay, so that kind of plays into it. It was like I would go there and I would type in, say, Timmy pedal or something, and 550 million threads would pop up of people saying, and you'd have just all kinds of opinions, and they were disputing and arguing, and you're talking to a guy named Fender Guy 222 or something like that, and you have no idea if this guy knows what the hell he's talking about at all. So I created this little group on Facebook. I didn't put any thought into the name. It was 3 a.m. after I got in from Florida. and I was just like, oh, I kind of got excited about this idea. So I type in these words, Gear Talk, on Create a Group, you know, on Facebook, and just added like 50 of my professional guitar player friends, the guys who I knew I could trust. And like, if they say, hey, this amp is rad, or this pedal rocks, or this sucks, right, I could trust them. I couldn't trust the guys on the mega forums. Like, you know, I'm not trying to diss the mega forums, because I still use them sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so that's kind of how that happened. And to make a long story a little bit longer, you know, it snowballed very, very quick. I guess there wasn't really anything like that on Facebook at the time. Right. So, you know, it kind of, people just started adding their friends, and it was really cool and organic, especially when it was small in the first few months, like everything is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since then, you know, it's kind of taken over my life in the last 3 years, as in, you know, we had a Gear Talk Expo in 2012 and 2013, which is like, you know, a micro trade show for guitar companies.
Nice.
Here in Atlanta. And, you know, then the Instagram thing happened.
That's it just huge.
It was just logical to start an Instagram. You know, I don't know. That really has kind of got connected with me with so many companies as well, more than even Facebook did. I'm really fortunate to have, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't just, I wouldn't be talking to you guys if it wasn't for, you know, just creating a little Facebook group 3 years ago.
That's awesome, man. And you know, your Instagram's just at Gear Talk, or your Twitter's at Gear Talk, and your Instagram's just Gear Talk.
No, my Twitter is not. It's not already taken. So yeah, how it kind of works is I have, it's a little bit of like self-promotion in a way. Gear Talk, when somebody tags Gear Talk on Instagram, and then it goes to Twitter, it just tags my name at Lance Seymour.
Okay.
So my personal Instagram or Twitter gets tagged a million times, but it's cool. You know, it helps me gain some followers there. I felt like, you know, and I was like, well, I could do a Gear Talk, like Gear_Talk or whatever. And I think I do have that, but you know, I felt Instagram was more, lended itself more to gearheads. People want to look at cool stuff. Yeah,
exactly, the visual aspect.
Yeah, and I could, you know, on Twitter you can, you know, you can post little tweets and links and stuff like that. But you know, I didn't feel like that was the right, you know, avenue for me. Yeah,
yeah.
But I dig it. So yeah,
yeah. And I just got to say to anybody listening, if you're not following Gear Talk on Instagram, you're way behind the times, because he's got like 60,000 followers. That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah. You know what you should do at this point, Lance? You should just start charging people. You know?
To
be a member of the club, $3 a month.
Yeah, dues.
You know?
Why didn't I think of that? You know, that's, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to be so loaded.
My consulting fee is only $10,000 for that.
Yeah. Well, if I'm making $120,000, you know, or whatever every day, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Take your 10 grand, Brian.
Something I do want to talk about, and we've kind of segued into it, is, you know, how social media is really affecting everything to do with gear, especially the smaller boutique companies.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'll kind of go even more in-depth to that. And maybe it's just me that's getting this impression, but I almost get the impression that there's a recent resurgence in boutique amplifiers. And mm-hmm. Because it seemed like that was kind of like a hard sell maybe even 6 months ago. And now with the presence of like Milkman Amps and Jackson Amp Works, mm-hmm. it's like...
And Jackson's killing it, man.
Yeah.
And you know why?
I think social media. You know what I mean?
You know Brian, who Brian O'Million, I think is his name, who runs the Jackson Amp Works Instagram. Dude, I told the guy at NAMM, I was like, man, keep on doing what you are doing, because you're taking these beautiful photos. I myself, as I don't create a product, so I end up reposting a lot from companies, and I can only, you know, justify reposting really beautiful, artful shots.
Right.
And so I've posted a lot of stuff from Jackson Amp Works, because they'll take their amps outside in the desert in Texas and put a cool looking Strat or Telecaster on there, and they're absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and they're just totally killing it. And I mean, obviously I'm not within the company. I don't know anything about how many amps they sell, but you would have to think that it's raises their profits and their sales.
I'm sure it has, man.
You would have to think that, right? You know.
I mean, they're basically creating fans.
Yeah.
You know? And with any business, especially any niched business like this, if you have a community of dedicated followers, then that's basically your customer base.
So basically, you're the leader of a gear cult.
Boom.
Hashtag gear cult. Well, you know, here's one thing I think about a lot one thing I think about a lot is, you know, it's almost like brand loyalty sometimes, like... marketing. I was talking with Jack Vaughn last night, Brian, and he told me to say hi from JHV3.
Oh, cool.
The last thing he said was, hey, tell Brian I said hi. Anyhow, I think it's like brand loyalty at this point. It's like there's so many companies, like especially pedal companies, that make very, very similar pedals.
Right.
It's marketing. It's Which company do I want to buy my Tube Screamer from, or my Klon clone?
You're right.
Because a lot of these pedals, man, they do the same thing. A lot of amps are very similar. So now it's like, it's marketing. It's who do I have a personal connection with? And I think that's where, a company can really fly with social media.
And on the flip side of that, they can drown without it. You know, there's a lot of companies that you see, like, I don't know, I'm not going to call anybody out,
but name names,
but there's some bigger companies that seem to be doing everything right, you know, mm-hmm. 3-4 years ago, and now, I mean, they're never even spoken about.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. And it's like Brian and I have talked about so many times, and the more we get into this, smaller companies are going to get bigger, and bigger companies are going to get smaller, to where it's all basically the same playing field.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you see a lot, and I see it happen with musicians too. I mean, there's probably not going to be a lot of gigantic, you know, no more Journeys and no more, not with Journeys,
back. Right.
But I mean, you know, great big mega bands of the 80s and 70s and 60s, but there's a lot of smaller bands that have just like you guys.
Yeah,
like your band, Travis. You guys have like a dedicated following of people that love you.
I'd like to thank both of those people.
Thanks, mom.
Hey,
Travis, what's your band called, by the way?
I just started a new project, but the band that I toured with and did the whole, you know, record deal, all that crap, was it's just called WT Feaster Band, which. It's the worst name ever for marketing purposes. But.
No, it's beautiful. I love it.
Well, you could.
It's play a great
off,
name.
You could play off the WTF, which are seriously my initials.
thanks, mom.
Yeah, exactly right. But I got a new project now called Henthorn Feaster, which is this guy Doug Henthorn. He, I don't know. He does a lot of work with John Hyatt. Joe Bonamassa flew him over to London to the Royal Albert Hall to do a couple shows with him.
Yeah, I heard you talking about him on the last show.
Yeah, he's great. So, I mean, I started that new project, so that's kind of what I'm pimping now.
You guys need a country picker.
We don't.
I got a G-bender, is what I'm saying. Well,
you know, kind of what you guys were saying, too, is I won't mention the name of this company, but I'm friends with a dealer in Georgia, and we were talking about different pedal brands he wanted to pick up, and there was one brand that I think make great pedals, but he was like, oh man, I went to their Instagram and it's absolutely horrible. And he actually said these words to me: I don't think I want to carry them just because of their Instagram.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing now, is it's like you have to promote yourself. Mm-hmm. So dealers, I mean, it's a trickle down effect.
Right.
If we promote ourselves, it's kind of like if you buy a franchise, you know, if you buy a Subway or something, you know, they advertise for you.
Well, so many years, I mean, years ago, years ago in internet days, I guess, so 10 years ago, whenever you had a retailer, retailers would basically sell your product for you.
Yes.
And it's not quite so much that way. I mean, you've got to sell and you've got to create that following of people that then go to the retailers and buy your product.
Yeah, completely. You know?
So it's a whole different landscape. So, but that's why you see like Fender selling direct. I just saw Sabian Cymbals is going to start selling direct now. Love Pedal only sells direct, I think, in the United States. I
mean, yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, and they're still doing really good just selling direct, you know?
And that comes back to the brand loyalty.
And it comes back to brand loyalty.
Yeah. You know?
Brand loyalty marketing, you know, it makes something look good. You know, or, you know, the design, the look of a pedal will kill a pedal or win a pedal, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like, there's a, okay, I have absolutely no need, number one, for another delay pedal. And I have absolutely no need for a delay pedal that only goes to 400 milliseconds. But.
What are you talking about?
Well, but some
What am I doing on this show?
No, wait. But some guy just put out a delay pedal that looks like a flux capacitor.
I saw that.
And man, I want that damn thing. I already have 10 delay pedals. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it looks cool.
But it's awesome. So yeah.
Who doesn't want that on their pedal board?
Exactly. You know? I mean, so you're right, man. The way a pedal looks, it can sink it too.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, there was a company, you know, like Bondi Effects with, you know, Jono Ashley. You know, man, he kind of, I think really he's one of the brands I think about that social media, especially Instagram, just helped him sell just a ton of pedals. I don't even know, you know, I don't know if I've even been to his website or if he has one, but I own both of his pedals and you know, he took some beautiful photos of them that kind of came in at the right time and you know, and he sold a ton of those sick ass and Del Mar pedals.
Yeah. I see that sick ass all over the place. You know,
yeah, definitely,
especially on pro level boards. You know, and the cool thing is too is Instagram gives us a chance to see what artists are using too, because I notice there's a lot of artists now. They're like, well, there's my pedal board. I'll click it and put it online because they need that content. You know? So
and they know that if they do that, then the gear companies are going to
repost. And so it's just all.
It's like there's this whole kind of thing of new players that are become because of social media. We're all kind of the guys who are real in the gear community, the guys who are really big gearheads and posting beautiful photos of their gear all the time. I know you guys know like Derek Williams.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, and Matthew Hoops. You know, I know we were talking, Mason Stoops as well.
Yeah.
There's this guy on Instagram named FJ Lorente. He's in, I think, Costa Rica. Dude posts the most beautiful photos of gear all the time, and he gets reposted by all these other larger Instagram accounts, and it kind of makes them almost, you know, even whether they're a known artist or not, it kind of makes them known in the gear world.
Well, it's funny you mention that because there's a guy, don't get me wrong, he's deserving, he's a great player, but do you know Philip Sace?
Have you ever heard how do I know that name?
He's a big time blues guy. He was a side guy for a long time, but basically vintage gear guys love him because everything he plays is vintage, you know, the old fuzz faces, the old wahs, and obviously he's got a billion Klons, you know, he plays vintage Fender amps, and you know, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, but you can tell that he's very studied in the Stevie Ray Vaughan school, if that makes any sense.
Gotcha. I understand.
So that that right there attracts a lot of people. But, you know, it's not like he's selling a million records, but you go to YouTube and you type in, you know, Philip Sace and his gear or whatever, and there's one video that has tens of thousands of hits because it goes through his pedal board.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So he's becoming even more famous to guitar players because of the gear.
Right.
You know, and it's crazy. You know, people, and you'll see this now, you'll see people actually on their websites, artists, you know, of like people that, you know, aren't like very big, but they'll have gear like a gear page on their website mm-hmm. so you can see what gear they use. Like that's
that's the first thing I click.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, that's what I want to see the most. I know their music by then, and I'm like, right. Oh, how's they? You know, and I kind of always make this sort of analogy. And I'll try to say it in a clean way. Guitar pedal boards and rigs are like beautiful women. Or just like women in general, not just beautiful. Okay, I never get tired of looking at beautiful women. I never get tired of looking at women. I never get tired of looking at gear, believe it or not.
Right.
And it could be immaculate, a 10, or it can be a train wreck.
Right.
I mean, yeah. But I kind of just like looking at it. I mean, and they all have the same features, have the same parts, if you will, same elements, women and gear.
It's like the difference between a woman that's beautiful and then another one's just sexy. You know? Yeah. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, the personality, the tone of the woman.
That's true. I guess I would rather see a picture of a very nice Dumble than like a little gorilla solid state amp.
But you're still going to look at the amp.
But it's still a gorilla.
You know? Yeah, you're still on. You're still going to put a little heart on it on the Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to double tap it.
We're still talking about gear.
See what I did there?
There we go. All right.
Okay, yeah, I cracked myself up on that. Funny. But, yeah, I mean, the Instagram thing, and I think you were even telling me, Brian, that Instagram has now surpassed Twitter in the number of followers, users, I mean.
I think so.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I hear. And, I mean, and Twitter's huge.
Twitter's been around for, like, 5 more years, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's had a chance to be that band that everybody liked in the beginning, but now that they got popular, you don't like them anymore.
I mean, at some point, Instagram will probably be like Facebook, where all the parents are getting on it. So everybody, you know what I mean? Like, all the moms and grandmas will be on there posting pictures of whatever they post. And
the best thing about Instagram...
60-year-old woman selfies and stuff. But.
The best thing about Instagram is you can go see what people are into without having to hear their opinions.
That's the thing. Okay, so I mean, that's what I feel about Instagram. Is very drama free.
Right.
You know, having an account with 60,000 followers, you would think that there'd be a lot more drama on the photos, but there's really rarely, maybe a handful of times I remember there being any real drama on any of my any of my photos. Now, Facebook, on the other hand. Which, you know, one of my favorite things to do is watch, like, Z-Vex and Cusack get into a fight on Facebook. We all love that.
Max and I always just refer to it as nerd fights.
Yeah. Well,
hashtag nerd fight.
That's exactly what it is. Philippe will jump on there. He's
great.
He's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. But, you know, okay, so I run, obviously, Gear Talk on Facebook. I run, believe it or not, like 60 Gear Talk groups on Facebook. As a matter of fact, I added up the members of all the groups, and there's like 86,000.
I'm just telling you, dues. Charge dues. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, there's ways we've thought about doing certain things like that. We do the classifies, which is, I think, has about 25,000 members in that, where people can buy, sell, and trade. And it's a cool thing. But... okay, so there's also Gear Talk Praise and Worship.
Right, I've seen that.
As you guys know, in this market, Praise and Worship guitar players love gear. And music lends itself to cool gear.
Yeah, especially, delays and reverbs, I've noticed,
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was about to say, and the thing you have there is most of the time, it's not professional musicians who... have no money. Most of the time it's people that, they may only play in church.
Right.
And chances are they have the income, disposable income.
Well, a lot of the times the churches that they play at do pay for the gear as well.
Right. Yeah.
But what I was getting at was, for drama, when I created that group, there just kind of needed to be a subgroup from Gear Talk because they would get into these religious debates on the main Gear Talk, and I was like, I don't really want that here. It's not what it's about. So I've played for years at churches and things like that. So I was just like, well, how about we create a Gear Talk Praise and Worship? And And I said when to them the first day, I was like, I guarantee you, I was like, this group, you can talk, have your debates and everything, but I guarantee you this will be the most dramatic of all the gear forums, you know, and it has proven to be, you know.
That's like the equivalent to like Gear Talk forum would be like the bar, and then somebody's fighting, you say, you want to take it outside.
But in this instance, the whole entire bar goes outside.
Exactly, yeah. In this instance, you know, so basically the praise and worship site is the outside. Duke it out over there.
But I think a lot of that just comes down to, I mean, you know what they say about don't talk about politics and religion. Mm-hmm. So you already have musicians who are arguing about equipment, right? And then on top of that, they're arguing about the religious views in regards to equipment as well. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. It can get a little dicey in there.
Recipe for destruction.
There was a thread on there last night. It was like, who conceals and carries while they play? dude, it happens. It's crazy. I think it's kind of...
I think I posted that.
Yeah, exactly. That was you. Darn you.
I'm WTF on there.
Yeah.
That actually is my gear page.
Really?
Moniker. Yeah, WTF.
I didn't know you had a second moniker.
Well, yeah, because, no, I did, because remember in whenever Brian put out this ad for like who, you know, he was hiring, I sent in my resume. I said a little bit about myself. All he answered back is, what's your gear page name?
Oh, that's right. Well, that's been like 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, that was years. That was years ago. So,
at that time, that mattered.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean that bad. I just mean that. Now, I mean, at that time, the gear talks, all the Facebook groups, they weren't as big as they are
right
now.
No.
So,
what you have is like a lot of the gear pagers. They're kind of they may go away from the gear page and get on Gear Talk or one of the other gear forums on Facebook. So things are kind of spreading out rather than everything being centrally located at, you know, three forums.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, having these specialized little forums, and you know what I found is the forums on Facebook, the Gear Talk forums, the smaller ones with like 100 members or something, they run so much smoother than these ones with, you know, 15,000-20,000 members.
Yeah.
You know, so I created all these like little regional groups, like Gear Talk Georgia, Gear Talk. You know, there's even like a Gear Talk Nashville. There's a Gear Talk Kentucky. I don't know if there's a Gear Talk Indiana, but you know, we might have to.
There's
start
like it. Four of us in it.
Well, you know, I'm I mean, obviously, I listen to Chase and Tone, and I'm like, dang, These guys are Gear Talk right here.
Well, we're just nerds
for about 2 minutes.
I mean, dude, we're all nerds,
right?
We're all nerds. We just get to play guitar, you know.
Yeah. The thing that I love most probably about the forums is it gives me a chance to get outside of myself. And what I mean by that is I get so caught up in rock tones and blues tones, mm-hmm. and then, you know, in praise and worship tones, and then you forget that there's still this whole other I don't know, genre of like 10 different kinds of metal music.
Right.
You know what I
Absolutely.
Mean?
Absolutely.
You know,
that's a whole other side of the gear world that most of like, that I don't get into. I mean, I think your like Wampler pedals have done a pretty good job of reaching into that world a little bit. Like say with like the triple wreck and things like that.
Yeah, which Brian can't leave well enough alone, so he's going to redo.
I like breadboarding, I'm sorry. I like assembling capacitors and resistors and unique.
Is that prototype you posted yesterday?
No, that was a whole different one. I've literally have like a prototype every week, just a new one. Just
perfect.
You got that Big Muff prototype yet?
I'm working on it, yeah. It's got circuit boards in, so.
Alrighty.
Yeah, you're going to love that one.
Did I get one?
Maybe. I don't know.
I told you on the last episode, I garnish my wages. I want one.
I don't know. I'm hungry for some B's and G's, so we'll see.
The metal scene, I belong to a little subgroup on Facebook, and most of them are metalheads, and it's so funny because I'm the outcast, you know. Like, and the big thing to make fun of me for is I play a red guitar, because I guess that's not very metal,
really,
you know what I mean. So like, but it's just it's funny because it's so foreign to me, and they'll tell me like, but you know, the biggest pedal that they love is that It's called the Dead Horse Overdrive. You know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of that one.
Is it Proton pedals or something like that?
I think so.
Oh, Proton. Okay, I know Proton.
I think they make something called the Dead Horse, and it's like a pretty expensive pedal, and to me, it sounds like a mid-range boost type of pedal. Hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
So it makes sense that they would like that then.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you play your rhythm with real scooped, and yes. then you hit a lead, you know.
Yeah, and it tightens it up. And the thing is, too, is like I told him, and it's a very expensive pedal, and I'm probably going to catch slack. And I'm sorry to the guys from Proton, but like, you know, I said, if you guys are just looking for some, I said, I'm sure this pedal does it way better. But if you're looking for a specific pedal that's just going to boost your mid-range and you don't want to spend an arm and a leg, check out the Bad Monkey. And they all laugh at me.
the Dead Horse is not that expensive. I'm looking at it online right now.
Okay.
It's $220.
Okay. So that's not bad.
Compared to...
I was thinking like $400 or $500.
Oh, are you? Okay.
I thought. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Is it Proton? Is it Proton Dead Horse? Is that right?
It's protonpedals.com, and I see the Dead Horse 219.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not super, super bad then, but
no, yeah. I know Amp Tweaker's doing a lot in the metal world, too.
Yeah, and they have been, and even Bogner.
Yeah, Bogner's doing good.
You know? Amp Tweaker's cool, man. He lives in Acworth, just north of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. James Brown, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That guy is bright. Oh, my gosh. He used to design stuff for Peavey, I think.
Yeah, I think he did the Classic 30.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's legit, man. He knows his stuff. He's not like me. He's not a hack.
I'll say this again. I've said it 1,000 times. And they may have, so maybe I'm wrong. But Peavey should just reissue that Classic 30 if they haven't.
I don't know.
I don't know if I want to talk to you. I don't know what I should say on here, but I don't know if I'm going to buy anything PV after watching Undercover Boss.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah.
I'm not touching that one, the 10-foot
Yeah.
pole.
Yeah.
I've been sued enough. No thanks.
Yeah. Well, I can say it. No, I can't. But
you can if you quit real quick.
Yeah. Right. Can I get hired right after the show? Yeah.
Hashtag lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, it's just me saying, after watching Undercover Boss, I was like, I'd rather. This is why people want to go, and it goes back to what you're saying, is like buy, boutique amps, and the boutique amp market is having a resurgence. I think the boutique amp market has a resurgence after that episode of Undercover Boss came out.
That was pretty brutal, and I'm looking at Brian, he's biting his tongue. So
yeah, I've learned my lesson financially.
Yeah. But I don't know. The PV Classic 30 was a cool amp. Maybe, what'd you say? Did you say his name is James Brown?
That's his name.
That's James fantastic. Brown.
He also used to be a singer. Yeah. In a totally different way.
James Brown.
Yeah, he was a foot shorter, and yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
He used to be able to dance. Yeah.
You racist against dead people? Is that what you're saying?
That wouldn't be racist. That'd be prejudice.
Sure.
No. I'm just saying dead people are lazy.
So I kind of wanted to ask you, it being, talking about social media, which I don't know if YouTube's really considered social media as much, but I mean, that YouTube seems to be, at least right now, where people are pedals and products are able to be marketed really well.
I mean,
you guys have a ton of demos out. I was actually fortunate to just demo the Plexi Deluxe.
Yeah, I saw it, man. It was a good demo.
Yeah, thank you. And
Blues for Brian, because he hates blues.
I had to come up with these hokey little names, and I was like, whatever.
It was an
homage to Brian over here who hates blues. I'll remember to do it next time.
It's not that I hate blues, it's that every time I play it sounds like a country player playing blues. It's like, no, you can't bend things like a steel player.
You can, you just can't do it every lick.
Right. The badooka-dooka-dookas doesn't work in the blues.
Yeah. I mean, how I came to know of back at the indie guitarist days, this is how much of a gearhead, I've always been. This was a long time ago. I just typed in Brent Mason rig or something like that. I wanted to see his pedal board, see what So, because, of course, you know, if I got his pedals, I'd be able to play like
him. Of course.
That's what
or at least sound like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it made perfect sense that if I just got his exact, you know, rig, then I would be Brent Mason and I'd be the number one studio guitar player in Nashville. But no, and I saw this guy. I was like, why does this guy get to hang out with Brent all the time, you know? And, of course, it was you, Brian. I was like... So at the time I didn't know you even made pedals, and then you know I saw the Hotwired came out. Right. I was like, oh, that's neat. I want to check that pedal out if Brent uses it.
And that kid is why you should stalk people.
Yeah. Oh man, you know, gear stalk. That's what it should be called.
Gear
now.
Stalk.
Gear stalk.
Hashtag gear stalk.
So we got two. So we have two more names that we should name them podcasts. We could name Gear Cult.
Gear Stalker.
Gear Stalker.
Dude, can I tell a story about the time I had to smack Brent Mason?
Yeah, please.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to think. Sure, Brent, no offense.
Okay.
But it was funny.
No, wait. It was so funny because we were at a restaurant in Nashville, and you know the waiter, that everybody plays guitar.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know...
I can't walk down the street out there.
Right? But, so we're out to dinner. It's, you know, Brian and Brent and... Anyway, it was his birthday.
Yeah, that's right.
It was his
yep.
birthday dinner, yep. And we had
the wives with us too.
Think, yeah, right? Yeah, yep. And we're at dinner, and this guy comes up, and I forget how he didn't know who Brent was, but somehow we got on the conversation of he's like, "Are you guys here for NAMM or whatever?" And you know, we were like, "Yeah, you know, we're in the gear industry or whatever." And he was like, "Yeah, man, this kid." He's like, "I just bought a guitar, or I just sold a guitar." And Brent was like, "Oh yeah, what'd you sell?" And he was like, "I don't even know, man. It was this metal guitar. It was all metal, and it was my great grandpa's, and it was like from the 40s or 30s or something."
Yeah.
And then Brent, he sold it for like a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah. And
right?
Brent's eyes immediately got big, and he's like, "You already sold it?" And he was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man," he said, "I did all right. I got like $300 out of it." And then Brent opened his mouth and go, "Man, you got." And then I thought he was going to say ripped off. So I just smacked Brent, and then he stopped and looked at me like, "Why'd you do that?" And I just put my fingers to my lips like, "Shh." And then after the kid left, he was like, "Yeah, man, I probably shouldn't have told him he got ripped off." So that's my story where I had to like smack Brent Mason in the arm. Because like this kid, he thought he made out like a bandit, you know? He was like, "I just got a $300, right. You know.
This is why you don't pawn things."
Yeah, I'm like, just let him think he did okay on this.
Yeah, the deal's done at that point, you know.
Yeah, like, no sense in ruining the kid.
Yeah, see, later the kid like found the guy and murdered him. You know, he's like, "I want my guitar back." This guy at Waffle House told me it was really good. It's worth way more. It's a steal. We can melt it.
Oh man, cracked me up. This old metal guitar from my great grandpa's had to be from the 30s or 40s. Oh man. So yeah, I mean, you mentioned YouTube, and I can remember it's been a couple years. Mm-hmm. We're riding Brian's truck, and I said the pedal demo's got to change.
Yeah,
and I said, eventually YouTube is, I said, there's got to be a better way to utilize it. And then we you know, we decided basically it's content, you right. know? So mm-hmm. yeah, I'll never forget. That was like a turning point for me. And then I noticed that like, that's exactly when it started to change, you know? Mm-hmm. So yep. It was like,
well, you know, speaking of pedal demos, because that's mostly what I do now during the mm-hmm. day is, I mean, you know, you guys typically have, demos by everybody who's doing them, really, that's known, you know, like Kingman and Thorne and everybody like that, which right. I love Brent Kingman and Pete Thorne. They do excellent jobs. So I kind of ended up wanting to do something a little bit different than them, where I don't talk in the demos. I'm not even right. shown in the demos, because the one thing that bothered me was people just talking and given their opinion too much, and I'm not saying Brent or Thorne do this too much. They actually do a really good job of talking through the stuff. But you know, we've all watched pedal demos where the guy talks for 35 minutes yeah. and then he plays for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's some guys that's just their niche, you know, their audience wants to hear 20 minutes of them talking about something,
no,
more, you know, and some are the exact opposite.
I believe that, you know, and I you know, this, there's some guys, I, you know, like, I think, you know, Jess Nick has a huge following, and, you know, he, but he does, like, really, really long demos, and I've never watched, like, a whole one, I don't think, but, you know, I think, yeah, he does have probably a great following because of what he does, you know. Yeah. I think there's a niche for everybody, but, yeah. I mean, like, pedal demos, what do you guys really like to see?
What do we like to see, or what do we like to do?
Well, I mean, I've watched a lot of yours, your personal ones, okay, that you do, Brian.
Yeah, the old ones were terrible.
What, I think what we like to see is a broad spectrum. That's why we like to have, you know, Brett Kingman do, yeah, his thing. We like to have, obviously, the problem with Pete Thorne is everything he plays, I want to buy. I'm not joking. Yeah, no, he makes everything sound just unbelievable. But then again, we also like to see the guys that just, like what you're saying, just get to the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I want to hear the pedal, not what you think of the pedal.
I mean, me,
you know,
personally, I just think it depends. Like, the way I look at it is each reviewer has their own niche. Sure. So, like, for example, let's say... Brett Kingman did a 45-minute video on how op amps work. You know, that's probably not what I'm going to expect out of him. Right. You know, I'm going to expect more tasteful playing and just, you know, showing some different settings and kind of getting to the point a little bit quicker, which he's really good at. You know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
And kind of the, like I was saying, kind of the opposite. There's other guys that do really good at taking 25 minutes to discuss a pedal, and their audience loves it. So, I just kind of look at it as I'm not going to tell a reviewer what we want to see, how we want it to look. Just do your thing. You know your audience better than we do. So
that's the best way to go about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So just kind of to wrap things up, you know, the social media, I think everybody that is really into gear
should be on MySpace.
Should be, yeah, right. Should really be on the Instagrams, the Insta pages, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
And you know, the reason I wanted to have you on the show, man, is because your site is kind of leading the way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Gear Talk has become its own entity that, like you said, even has like subgroups and it's branched out.
Right.
So yeah, if you guys listening aren't hip to Gear Talk, man, yeah,
check it out.
You're
for
behind
sure.
the eight ball a little yeah. bit. So
for $3, you can get a membership, a year membership.
Click that PayPal donate button. That's what yeah. you need. That's what you
yeah,
need.
Yeah. Why hasn't Instagram put that as a link yet? Why can't we? You know.
Right.
You know, it, like, I'm just gonna keep it like a locked profile, like you can't look at it unless you pay $3. You
yeah, that's a great idea.
Hey, you know, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if those days came one day, but then Instagram would be completely lame, and then there'd be some sort of other.
Yep. Then we'd all be on new. Snapchat.
Yeah.
Well, you guys aren't on Snapchat already?
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
I was going to add you.
Usually naked selfies, though.
You know? Oh, that's. And in that note, so thank you guys very much. But no, check out all Lance's outlets, you know, especially the Gear Talk on Facebook, all the groups, and check out you know, his Instagram, Gear Talk. But man, Lance, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we had all kinds of technical difficulties, so thanks for being patient with us there too. We got to you about an hour late. So
no, it's all good. It's my pleasure, and you know, Travis, Brian, and Max, I really appreciate your time and having me on.
Sure, man.
Yeah, man. And if you ever want us on the Gear Talk podcast, we'd love to do that too.
Oh no, that's been the whole plan the whole time, is to get you guys over. I need to get my ratings up over there. So
just don't plan on getting to any sort of point quickly.
Yeah, just have Max on; he's the funny one.
Hashtag funny.
All right, well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Check leave us a review on iTunes. Check us out on Facebook, Chasing Tone Podcast, and Instagram, Chasing Tone Podcast.
Yeah.
For Lance, Max, and Brian, I'm Travis. Thank you guys so much for listening.